If your passion lies in elite British road racing and you want an inside line on the teams, riders, organisers and sponsors that make this sport such a compelling spectacle, you're in the right place. I'm Timothy John, and joining me for every episode is my co-host, the Managing Director of Brother UK, Bill Jones.
Thanks, Tim. It's great to be here. We're going to use this platform to talk about all the key issues surrounding the sport. With special guests, deep dives into hot topics and plenty of chat, we'll keep you informed about all things UK racing. Stay tuned.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Brother UK Cycling Podcast, where today we're joined by Ben Barrett, Sustainability Consultant to the UCI, cycling's world governing body. Now, Ben has helped to create the UCI's new Sustainability Impact Tracker, billed as cycling's first online sustainability platform. The tool will allow teams and events to measure their carbon footprint and their sustainability impact. Now, sustainability offers a further dimension for Brother UK's long-standing commitment to elite British road racing. With two Queen's Awards and countless independent accreditations for our own sustainable practices, Brother UK is a credible sponsor of the Tour of Britain's Green Zones. So what is the scale of the challenge facing professional cycling? Is it greater than for stadium sports, or does the open road and the bicycle's intrinsic value as low carbon transport make it more aligned with the goal of a more sustainable future? Here to discuss these issues and many more is Ben Barrett, as we say, the UCI's sustainability consultant. Ben, thank you very much indeed for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, Timothy.
Well, not at all. I mean, it's really good of you to give us your time. Britain seems to be the locus of the UCI sustainability initiatives at the moment. We very recently held the 2023 World Championships in Glasgow, Scotland. And as we were discussing off air, you've also been instrumental in the training of Sweet Spot, the team that puts on the Tour of Britain and the Women's Tour each year. So wonderful to hear that cycling in the British Isles is very much at the forefront here.
Absolutely. You know, there was a lot all coming together around 2023 Cycling World Championships, and we can certainly be extremely inspired by how the Scottish Government has identified cycling as a key way to achieve not just their net zero targets, but also address some of those other issues around equitable access to transport, air pollution, living healthily. Having the well-established team behind the Tour of Britain and the Women's Tour join us as part of that event sustainability program is really important. Obviously, we can all help shift the dial. These are new skills. It's all about innovation, working differently. And you don't forget how to do this stuff. It's all about taking on the challenge and looking at what can be done differently.
Great stuff. Well, that's good to know. As I say, the main development, certainly in recent months, has been the launch of the UCI Sustainability Impact Tracker. Now, for our listeners who may not have been across this development, the tracker tool was launched on August the 1st, so just a couple of weeks ago. It has two main components, a tool to measure compliance with UN Sustainable Development Goals, and that's something that we're very familiar with at Brother UK. We're signatories to all 21 of those development goals. The second component is a tool to measure the carbon footprint of an event or organisation. Now, in cycling terms, of course, that's a race or a team. The tool has been developed by two external agencies, and the Glasgow World Championships will be the first to have its carbon footprint and sustainability impact tracked on the platform. So Ben, I mean, without getting too carried away, just how significant is the development of this tool? It's built by the UCI as cycling's first platform to measure carbon footprint and sustainability impact.
Well, it's super important because you can't measure what you don't, sorry, you can't manage what you don't measure. So by the UCI providing this platform for all cycling stakeholders, we're going to make it more accessible, make sure that carbon footprinting and setting actions in place in order to reduce our environmental impacts from the sport. It really does begin with setting a baseline, identifying where those hotspot emission sources are. And, you know, it makes sense to tackle those priority areas first because you'll have the greatest positive impact. We also know that there are some events, some teams that are already measuring their footprint. But we needed a common reporting standard, one that meets all of the global standards for greenhouse gas emissions calculations, and mainly to make sure that we're all measuring the same things to the same standard. We decided to take the lead and really get commitment from our stakeholders last year with our UCI Climate Action Charter. That's a set of 8 clear principles uniting cycling stakeholders really behind and with the UCI in solidarity to address the urgent environmental impacts of our sport, prepare to adapt to a much more extreme climate in the future, and most importantly, contribute to more everyday cycling. We hope that through this tool, all of our stakeholders will be able to measure full impacts across the environmental, social, and economic spheres in order to develop action plans, monitor their progress, and communicate transparently with fans, with their partners, and with all other stakeholders.
And this tool, Ben, was this sort of developed from scratch for cycling, which of course is a very unique sport, professional road racing, or have there been elements that have been transferable from other sports?
So we've been working with the service providers, Global Climate Initiatives, GCI, and 261PI. Now, GCI were really attractive to us because of their previous experience setting up the tracker for Formula One. So FIA used GCI to basically collect data across all of the different events that take place on the Formula One calendar. Likewise, the Tour de France, ASO, used GCI's carbon calculator platform. So they have a lot of experience in terms of sports, in terms of sporting activities. Cycling is quite a challenging sport to collect data for. I mean, it doesn't always, unless you're talking about track, take place in a set venue. It's a rolling caravan of riders, coaches, staff, personnel. We have quite a few challenges, but with a robust system to collect data, and this will all be kind of backed up with training and educational resources, we want to really simplify the process, you know, remove some of those challenges for collecting data, for making those calculations. So likewise with 261PI, they're a specialist platform working in the sports and entertainment worlds. So they've got a lot of experience having been working with the French Ministry of Sport and other sports leagues over the past couple of years.
How long was the tracker in development? I mean, it was launched on August the 1st, but just from your sort of summary there, it sounds like a tool of significant scope, not the kind of thing you put together overnight.
So we initially started looking at different providers around 18 months ago. Now we set out with the objective, which is part of the UCI sustainability strategy, just focused solely on carbon footprint calculator. Now last year, the UCI launched its Agenda 2030, which for the first time contains an entire chapter devoted to sustainable cycling. Aligned with Agenda 2030, we made the decision to expand the scope of the tool. And it really, this is to help our cycling stakeholders, the teams, the national federations, the event organizers, to also measure and manage their contributions to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. So the Sustainability Impact Tracker is in fact two platforms within one. Carbon calculator, carbon footprinting on one side, and then also you've got the Sustainable Development Goal measurement on the other side.
You mentioned earlier that the collection of the data will be aligned to sort of globally recognized standards. I know from experience working with Brother that the United Nations sets the Sustainable Development Goals. Are there other international organizations that the UCI data will sort of conform to, or is the UN the leading partner here?
So the UCI is a signatory to the United Nations Sports for Climate Action Framework. Through our participation in various working groups, we are working to the best standards expected of us by not just the United Nations, but also the other leading sports when it comes to sustainability and transparency. So for us, being sort of guided by the standards that are being set up in the Sports for Climate Action framework. We really want to replicate that throughout our entire cycling ecosystem. I mean, just from my own experience, I have seen different events measuring their carbon footprint in different ways. And of course, what we want to do is reach a place where we're all measuring the same activities across the same time frames, the same periods. And that way we can actually create benchmarks. What is a low carbon cycling event versus, you know, that could have geographical differences. Even the different disciplines of cycling, you know, it's not just road cycling. We've got mountain bike, BMX, track. We want to have that mechanism in order to collect that data and take a data-driven approach to sustainability.
As you say, so many different types of cycling, even within a single sport. If we sort of zoom out, Ben, and compare cycling with other sports, you mentioned the FIA earlier. That's the sport most commonly compared with professional cycling, that sort of global nature of it, traveling with the mobile infrastructure, that there's a lot of parallels there. From your experience as a consultant working in this field, where do you place cycling on the curve? Is it ahead of other sports? Is it lagging behind? How would you judge that?
I would say we're still quite early in our journey and there's still a long way to go. It's been a process of really engaging, getting buy-in from different organizations, different other people within the sport. But there is that common feeling of we need to do this. We've got an additional responsibility as also being sort of a rolling billboard of low carbon transportation, which is a significant solution to the climate emergency. I have to say that, you know, the UCI doesn't work on this in isolation. We work really closely with a number of other international federations. We all have the same challenges, you know, from the biggest sports leagues to different sports. Whilst our challenges may be slightly different, we're all moving forward faster by sharing knowledge. That's really to help accelerate our efforts. So we spend a lot of time participating in various working groups. The UCI has also brought together a Sports for Climate Action cycling working group to focus solely on the challenges linked to our sport. But most importantly, you know, these are other organizations that have joined the Race to Zero. You know, they've got the target to reduce their carbon emissions by 50% by the end of the decade and to become net zero no later than 2040. So that's an important way for us to also get information on the ground of what those specific challenges are and, you know, some feedback on what kinds of things the UCI might need to put in place in the future in order to enable that important transition for us.
I mentioned in the intro there, Ben, that, you know, cycling, professional road racing, I mean, I must be precise here, as you say, so many different disciplines. Road racing, of course, that's the area in which Brother UK makes its investments. And on the one hand, as you say, it has this sort of intrinsically low carbon form of transport at its heart. Its stadium, for want of a better phrase, is the open road. It would seem hardwired to sustainability. On the other hand, it does have these huge challenges. It has to take this infrastructure with it as it, you know, travels around the world. The very nature of traveling around the world creates challenges to a more sustainable future by itself. Again, how do you read that? Is it a sport that faces greater challenges than others? Is that easy to say?
I think we, in terms of all sports, travel is the priority area of impact and emissions. You know, the fact there is a world tour, you know, world tour needs to travel to different places in order to, you know, spread the sport and increase cycling development worldwide. The challenges are around, you know, how many people are traveling, how far are they traveling, how are they traveling? But you can also see already some innovations from different places. And just a one that pops to mind is the Tour Down Under, which this year had their prologue raced on road bikes. And that was simply to reduce the kind of logistics impacts of taking a whole nother set of bikes for what was 7 kilometer ride around central Adelaide. So you can see there are some decisions being made to make things better to make the sport more sustainable. And likewise, the recently completed Arctic Race of Norway, because it takes place so far up and near the Arctic Circle, teams can't take their regular buses and vehicles. So the organizer there provides an entire fleet of electric vehicles. They overcame the biggest challenge of how do you charge all these electric vehicles by partnering with some local electricity companies who helped develop mobile chargers. Now that is a really incredible innovation because those chargers also get used by other sports events up in that area, which has, because it's not very densely populated, the electric vehicle charging infrastructure is not as widespread as it is in the rest of Norway. So, you know, there's amazing things happening there. It's just getting to the point where those become natural reflexes, that we don't see these as being sustainable, but we actually see those as doing, you know, being normal. We've got some challenges to overcome and just how people prioritize these types of investments. But it starts with looking outside the ecosystem as well. I think, you know, the engaging with different stakeholders, whether it be the local authorities where a race is being held, you know, what are they doing? How could they potentially support innovations or sustainability in terms of event delivery? But yeah, there's lots of great stories. And I wouldn't say cycling is unique necessarily. I mean, we've got a large reliance on support vehicles. That's quite different potentially to a football game or a tennis match. But there are things that we can do that will help to remove some of the most polluting and high impact emissions from those activities.
I think, Ben, if you had to boil down the entire challenge of professional road racing to one specific issue, that idea of charging infrastructure, that's almost the sort of microcosm, isn't it, of this vast issue that we're discussing. At what point does the UCI sort of recommendations and initiatives and innovations, at what point does that become obligation for a race organizer? At what point does the UCI say, well, you know, you cannot host a race unless you're able to provide mobile charging infrastructure or a particular stage, unless, you know, the vehicles, and we know that there are going to be X amount of vehicles on the race, are able to be charged?
So I think for us, our strategy has started with education because, you know, getting to a point where commitments are turned into obligations within the sport, it's better to take everyone along the journey with us. And I think that starts with helping the wider cycling family understand the impacts of climate change, you know, the context behind climate change, why we have to do this, and the bicycle's important role. But also as a sport, we've got that obligation to that responsibility to showcase the solutions that will help not just our sport, but, you know, wider society reach net zero in the future. And of course, there's a platform to engage on the importance of sustainable mobility. It goes hand in hand. I mean, this transport emissions continue to increase. We want to highlight that, you know, we can address that. That's not something that happens overnight, but, you know, spending the time working with the different teams, event organizers, getting everyone on the same page so that we move forward together is fundamentally what's going to make or break this strategy. You know, the success of what we're able to achieve will ultimately depend on how we all collaborate together. You know, teams and events in the UCI, we all are responsible for different impacts associated with having a road race. So, you know, a decision by one of those stakeholders will ultimately affect the ability of another one potentially to take climate action. So it needs to be done in a collaborative, meaningful way in which we discuss the options, seek consensus, and most importantly, you know, that we can make this a consistent approach throughout the sport. Again, we will get to the point, I'm sure, in the future of certain obligations being made part of the licensing process. But at the moment, we are really amplifying the best practices of those organizations that are already moving towards that point. Of course, it's one thing for the UCI to, you know, implement some new rules or regulations, but we're also wanting to highlight to our stakeholders that, you know, in different parts of Europe, it's getting increasingly more strict when it comes to environmental legislation in terms of pollution levels. So again, having a sustainability program for your organization ultimately will put you in a better position for forthcoming and future legislation as well.
Cycling, of course, doesn't happen in isolation, does it? You know, by its nature, it takes place on public roads. There is already a need to engage with local authorities and you know, even higher tiers of government. Is cycling's dependence on what exists in the wider ecosphere, again, greater, do you think, than other sports, perhaps? A mobile charging infrastructure, for example, you know, that's part of the infrastructure of a town, a city, a transport network, a lot of elements there that I guess some stakeholders might say, well, you know, this is beyond our control. We're doing our bit, but we can't control everything. How would you respond to that?
I think that's a really important point. You know, there isn't consistent access to electric vehicle charging infrastructure across Europe, for example, or even within the United Kingdom. That, again, is some, I think, an important role there as a sport. You know, there is a lot of engagement with the local authorities about road closures, about suitability of hosting a start and finish in a certain part of town. The conversation around charging infrastructure and suitability to host a start and finish is really going to become an essential consideration over the next 6 years. The more that we can engage and help municipalities, local authorities, to understand that, look, if you want to attract a bike race into your town or city, in order to engage, you know, the citizens around the benefits of everyday cycling, that will ultimately rely on provision of good charging infrastructure in the future. We're seeing you know, many bike races now, Flanders Classics, Tour de France, all bringing a certain percentage of their vehicle fleet, making sure they're plug-in hybrids. You know, in terms of existing infrastructure, there may not be the need for that all year round, but again, mobile infrastructure, what are the innovations? How can partners help bring that to life a little bit more? But if we're talking about the number of vehicles on the road, you know, we can also look at, you know, I've seen bike races that are fairly compact. It's possible to run a compact, low volume bike race. Can we learn, you know, through the data from benchmarking different types of bike races from those events that maybe don't have a huge budget, don't have a huge vehicle and support fleet? What can we learn from them? And can we actually sort of identify the best practices there and replicate them across other categories of races? You know, it's about using that data to identify where those innovations are taking place. But the challenges for, you know, a fully, you know, from a point A to point B type of race. I know of a race organizer up in Scandinavia who really struggled in one of the countries that they went to, simply because it didn't have the same infrastructure as they did in their host country. So that's a challenge, but hopefully something, you know, we can all get involved with as well and sort of identify as it's really fundamental part of our sport is making sure that the riders, the athletes, teams are supported, and it's a part of our kind of roadshow.
Yeah, you make a really good point there, Ben. I mean, teams by their nature are sort of incentivized to reduce costs. You offered a very good example there with the, you know, riding a time trial on road bikes with the Tour Down Under, and there is a sort of point of mutual interest, I guess, that, you know, a team trying to reduce its cost, and if sustainability offers an avenue towards that, then naturally that is its own incentive. I mean, we've talked about local authorities. They are facilitators of a race. The other big facilitator in cycling are commercial sponsors. This is the Brother UK Cycling Podcast. Brother UK has won Queen's Awards for sustainability. It's got a host of independent accreditations. All of its sites in the UK are zero waste to landfill, for example. It's got a recycling facility that will appear on stage 2 of the Tour of Britain that zero carbon, you know, at some point, do you think sponsors are going to start to demand the higher standards of sustainability from the sport if they themselves are already reaching them?
Oh, absolutely. I think that is going to be, and this is part of the messaging that we're including in our climate action training, having a good sustainability program, there is definitely going to be brands, commercial partners out there that will want to be associated with the bicycle as a catalyst for climate action. I think partners as well, just from firsthand, from a lot of the teams in the World Tour, the partners are demanding stronger climate action, demanding transparency. So there's pressure being applied at all areas. But again, having partners come on board, such as Brother here, as a sustainability partner, wonderful way to work together for shared goals. And the more that cycling organizations, teams, event organizers, national federations can work with their partners, you know, the more we do with that, the more attractive the sport will be to the world's most sustainable and ethical companies wanting to get involved as well. So it's, you know, it could make a really great story, a great picture of a truly low carbon green sport in the future, but it will take the help and support, and most importantly, the expertise. I think there's a lot of sustainability expertise within cycling sponsors that could also help unlock some of these challenges for us as well.
Absolutely. I think it's sort of flipping that dynamic, isn't it, from challenge to opportunity, and saying, well, you know, there will be cost, there will be change to the process of organizing a bike race, of running a professional team, but equally that will generate opportunity. We become a more attractive proposition for partners with the higher standards of sustainability in their businesses. Just to sort of go further into detail here, Ben, the tracker is being used by the World Championships for the first time. What type of areas will they be measuring for their carbon footprint, for example?
Basically measures all categories of emissions that would be expected from a major sporting event. So carbon footprint-wise, that is obviously all of the travel and transport, not just of the athletes and the federations, but also fans as well traveling there. Of course, there's waste, energy emissions from purchased electricity or even from mobile electricity generation, such as generators. Also, of course, the materials that are being used. So having a full inventory of all of the impacts associated with the goods and services that were purchased for the event. And, you know, there was a mega event. You had 13 different world championships being delivered by 7 different event delivery partners. A lot of those delivery partners had never been sort of tasked with providing environmental data for carbon emissions before. So again, as a turning point, as a learning experience and engagement with the value chain of a bike race, it's doing an important job. But yeah, look, it's also just thinking, I'm just making sure I haven't left anything out. But trust me, it's got full scope of emissions being accounted for there.
Certainly a valuable indication of the scale of the categories that they might be measuring. Is it left to the organizer to sort of mark their own homework, so to speak, or will there be some kind of independent verification? Are the UCI working alongside the delivery partners, for example, to ensure that the data is gathered correctly and accurately?
So the UCI was part of the 2023 Cycling World Championships Sustainability Strategy Working Group. So we were part of that for the last 2 years. That group was formed from a large number of the partner agencies in Scotland, such as Transport Scotland, Nature Scot, Sport UK. But actually, through that working group, we have got dedicated experts who are supporting the process of ensuring the data is robust. But also validating that as it gets passed through. But there was a lot of work done on setting up a system internally for the event delivery partners to provide that data to the local organising committee that gets passed on to our carbon experts from Transport Scotland, who are then inputting it into the tool. I mean, this is a significant undertaking. It's a huge event. But the carbon calculator platform powered by GCI simplifies a lot of that, you know, through various tricks of formatting, it can also be automated to make those calculations based on the relevant emissions factors. So there's a lot of people supporting that process. And again, the 2023 World Champs undertook significant stakeholder engagement, helping identify those people who are able to support and ensure that that process could be done in the most efficient and to the best standards possible.
I mean, it's hard to think of a better event. You know, it's an in-house event almost for the UCI, although, as you say, they're working with external delivery partners, their own championships and water championships, such scale and scope, and already a success, at least on the sporting side. So it seems like a wonderful place to start. Just on the sustainable development goals, Ben, that's something that, as I say, Brother is very closely aligned with. It's signed up to all 21, but that is a broad church, isn't it? Everything from no poverty, gender equality, decent work and economic growth. Equally, there are some very directly relatable or more relatable categories such as climate action, life below water, life on land, etc. How are the SDGs selected for a cycling event?
So the alignment with the UN Sustainable Development Goals is really important because climate action is not just about the environment, it's also about how people, it's about people as well. The SDGs are really the blueprint and the solutions for how we address the climate emergency and create a more just world in the future. The UCI mapped its sustainability strategy and the same process was applied to the 2023 Cycling World Championships. Based on the World Business Council for Sustainable Development's SDG sector roadmaps. Now, this is a really great set of guidelines that's available online. And it simply takes you through the process of identifying where those alignments are, what the priorities are. And again, being backed up with indicators so you can actually count or measure what your contribution has been. You know, this is an important story to tell. We can do more than just measure our carbon footprint and reduce emissions. We can also contribute to a more sustainable world that treats people fairly. And so we've taken those examples, but the evaluation of 2023 World Championships will be based on the ASWAF, Common Indicators for Sporting Events. This is a big piece that you can find this report online as well. It's essentially trying to establish what those common indicators for major sporting events are across not just the environment, but social, development, equality. It's the full range of those environmental, social, and economic impacts. So that's something, again, that process, we've now kind of brought that into an online platform so all our stakeholders can access that. And that's the 261 PI SDG calculator is included in our sustainability impact tracker. Really important to actually understand what the events are already doing, but what they could do in the future, you know, as a priority action to contribute more to improving life for the people and where these bike races are being held, leveraging the event to communicate and engage the rest of society about the importance of riding more bikes.
I think that's a super important point because I guess the sort of counter argument is, well, it's a climate emergency. Why are we still holding a world tour? Why are we still sending huge amounts of people and vehicles around the world basically for entertainment? I don't want to put words in your mouth, Ben, but I guess the counter argument is it's a showcase. You're spreading the message of the power of the bike. That, of course, was, you know, one of the hashtags for Glasgow Scotland 2023. Can you talk about that a little bit? How does the UCI make, you know, that balance those two very conflicting demands? Number one, generating carbon emissions in the name of entertainment, and squaring that against, well, actually, we're trying to promote a wider message of the bicycle as the ultimate means of sustainable transport.
Absolutely. So as the governing body for cycling, the UCI's real role and responsibility has to being lead by example. That's why back in 2020, UCI signed the Sports for Climate Action Framework. We've been measuring and reporting our emissions to the United Nations for the past 2 years. But also part of that is helping to bring the rest of the cycling family along with us. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, you know, body of climate scientists made up from every country in the world, have told us that we need to make rapid and deep emissions reductions across all aspects of society. And that has to mean everyone. It can't just mean everyone else apart from the sport of cycling. If we're going to avoid the very worst consequences of climate change, we're going to have to radically rethink not just how we do our jobs, but also how we encourage our suppliers, our stakeholders throughout the value chain to also look at reducing their environmental impacts and transition towards becoming more of a low carbon society. We do that through regularly sharing articles through the UCI's website and social media channels, highlighting the importance of taking climate action, whether it be talking about one of the IPCC's latest reports or highlighting an initiative that's been launched by one of the stakeholders, you know, to try and inspire others to, you know, that, hey, look, this has been already being done. Let's, you don't have to come up with something new. You can just simply copy. You don't have to reinvent the wheel, so to speak. But look, sport is really important for bringing people together. You know, sport crosses boundaries. I think, and this is really important to understand that sport is a platform for engaging with people in a fun and inspiring way. And it's not just the sport of cycling. I mean, it could be any sport. If we can open up that conversation, it can have a multiplier effect. You know, if we can turn one cycling fan onto the importance of more everyday cycling, maybe they'll talk to their friends and family about it. Maybe they'll talk to their bosses and set up a cycle to work scheme or some sort of incentive to get more people to cycle to work. Who knows, they might even advocate for more safer cycling infrastructure with their local politicians or local MP. You know, if we can be that authority and source of information on why that is needed, why it's a good thing, it doesn't make the negative impacts of cycling go away, but as we've made that commitment, and we want everybody else to do the same, is really take a data-driven approach to understanding our full life cycle impacts, setting targets. You know, we can't necessarily set a target for everyone involved in the sport of cycling. But the whole point is that as an organization, people take that responsibility on themselves and they look at what their priorities are based on engaging with their own stakeholders. What's the priority for their local region, for their country even? But again, leading by example, this is super important. We need to build credibility for sustainability in order to really leverage bike events, you know, to build trust with not just cycling fans or commercial partners, but just the everyday person who might be going to the end of their garden to watch the bike race go past, you know. If we can help them connect riding and bike to climate action, you know, there's some really tough news almost on a daily basis about what's going on in the world and climate. But all of us can take climate action by riding our bike. You know, it's a symbol of defiance against some of the systems that are currently locking us into, you know, further global warming. But if it starts with us, you know, we, you know, as a sporting movement, we can really make something happen. And a lot of that's to do with opening that conversation with normal people.
Very powerful argument that it is within everybody's power to ride a bike almost than to take a less carbon friendly form of transport. And professional racing is a very powerful showcase to promote the values of the bike. We've talked about the tracker in some detail, but almost exclusively within the context of events. How about for the teams? Big story in one of the UK cycling media this week about the period in which they have to halve their carbon emissions being extended by the UCI, and a sort of implicit, choose my words carefully here, a sort of implicit pushback against the requirement to change. How do you read that?
So from my perspective, aligning any future targets being imposed on professional teams, they really need to align with the UCI and Sports for Climate Action framework. You know, it is a target for the end of the decade to reduce emissions by 50%. Aligned with that, there's a lot greater opportunity for us to achieve them by working together. It's ultimately going to take a lot of collaboration, an open dialogue, but also harnessing the insights of those extremely experienced operators of professional bike teams. They know their operations inside and out. You know, so much about sustainability is not necessarily technical expertise, but it's just about processes. You know, how do we change something to reduce its impact? Ultimately, those solutions for the entire sport to achieve that 50% reduction by the end of the decade, we're going to need to be working together. And there have been discussions with the teams, organizations, around formalizing a working group to provide those recommendations. But again, look, cycling is a sport based on data, innovation, and improving performance. The amount of data on performance that these teams will have on their riders already, you know, we need to take that same approach when it comes to our environmental and social impacts as well, and use the data to inform the decisions that need to be made. But yeah, I think making sure we're all aligned, you know, that we're all working to the same target, which is based on the, you know, IPCC's recommendations, well, not so much recommendations, but basically the scientific fact that, you know, globally we need to reduce emissions by 50% by the end of the decade. That also has to apply to the World Tour, for sure.
We've talked about cycling being intrinsically aligned almost with the sustainability agenda because of the open road, because the bicycle is a low carbon mode of transport. You make a very good point when you say it's a sport hardwired to data. It's hard to think of a sport more closely aligned with performance data than professional road racing. And so gathering and tracking data is second nature to World Tour teams. Can they reject the use of the tracker? Is it yet mandatory? Have the stakeholders been given a chance to buy in, to vote upon it? What's the process there?
So at the moment, it's not mandatory to use the sustainability impact tracker. You know, we're aware that some of the professional teams are already calculating their carbon footprints using other platforms. But what we wanted to do is ensure that all of the stakeholders have access to a tool that will help them to achieve impact reductions. So, you know, in the future, we'll be wanting to monitor and assure compliance. You know, with the Climate Action Charter, we've got around 19, I think, Women's World Tour and Pro teams that have made those commitments to measure their carbon footprint by 2024 at the latest. So again, if people are using their platform, we'll be able to monitor compliance with that. But as a sport, it'll also enable us to communicate more widely on the actions that are being taken from all areas. But at this present time, we have the tool there. People can use it if they want to, but it will become an extremely important mechanism for us to monitor progress in future years.
We've talked about external influences in terms of infrastructure, in terms of local authority support, that kind of thing. I guess the great context in which everything takes place in a sort of modern liberal economic society is the economy. It's not in a great place in the UK at the moment. And the UK is a highly developed nation. What challenges to implementing a sustainable agenda for cycling are presented by the wider economic environment?
Well, that's a really good point. But, you know, when you're actually looking at your emissions, and you're thinking of ways of being more efficient, it does lead to cost savings. You know, if you want to reduce your scope one emissions, you think, okay, what can I do to burn less fuel? Well, okay, can we start plugging into the mains power grid rather than having diesel generators on site? You know, there are efficiencies to be made from spending less money. That can help fund a good sustainability program. We know that there are financial challenges. It's the cost of living, the inflation that we've seen in the past 24 months has probably been something that all sports organizations and federations are acutely aware of. It's not to say that sustainability will make those costs go away completely, but it can certainly help. But my main point is that actually a lot of sustainability doesn't cost extra. It is really about time. Giving people time to learn a new skill, giving people time to plan to do something in a different way, giving people time to look at things from different angles. That is where those innovations will come from. so much, as I said before, so much about sustainability is around process. You know, we can take those steps according to the emissions hierarchy. Can we avoid emissions happening in the first place? Can we reduce doing something to reduce those emissions? Or can we replace equipment, technology, or even processes so that they're cleaner and greener? We need to be applying these types of hierarchies and thought processes at every level of the organization. It's sustainability is everybody's job every day. You know, it's not just up to one person to make an organization sustainable. It does really take teamwork and the input and harnessing the experience of everyone involved.
You know, talking about the 19 teams that are already on board, these are early adopters, I think, in the jargon, and must be very welcome to the UCI. It was heartening to hear, Ben, when we spoke off air, that Sweet Spot, the organisers of the Tour of Britain and the Women's Tour, have already undertaken sustainability training with the UCI. Brother UK has a long-standing relationship with Sweet Spot. We've sponsored both the Tour of Britain and the Women's Tour since 2014. Can you tell us a little bit about the training that you've delivered to Sweet Spot and other race organisers? What support does the UCI give them to go away and run more efficient races?
Okay, so the UCI Climate Action Training is a two-hour online webinar. And what we wanted to do was really tell or help our stakeholders navigate the complexities of this topic. Like, what is sustainability? Why do we need to do this? So within the Climate Action Training, going through the different chapters, it's really the context behind climate change, the impacts of climate change, how that affects cycling, the role of the bicycle in a challenging world, our actions and their impacts, so helping people understand why carbon footprinting is such an important process in order to understand where we're creating the most emissions. We also go through an overview of what else is happening in the world of sport and sustainability. We deep dive into the environmental impact of a bike race through the Flanders 2021 Road World Championship Sustainability Report. Then we also deep dive into recommended actions associated with our focus areas. So for our sport, you know, there are still some organizations who are not yet taking climate action. So we really highlight the key stages of setting up a sustainability program. But we also look at energy, waste, travel and transport, sustainable procurement, and of course, biodiversity as well. Sharing the sort of four or five key recommendations that all cycling stakeholders can, you know, take quick actions and make a big difference. But also through the training, we signpost to other sources of information. And this is, of course, the UCI Sustainability Guidelines was a key document published back in 2021, which contains a huge amount of information to help not just federations, but teams, event organizers, on how to actually deliver on sustainability. So we've done around, I think, over 20 workshops now since February. The priority was for the event delivery partners involved in the 2023 Cycling World Championships. But we've also trained, I think it's about people from 31 different countries have attended this climate action training so far. Over 330 attendees. And we've also been working with the French Cycling Federation and the Italian Cycling Federation to create localized versions in French and Italian. The Italian Federation's already started delivering that workshop to a bunch of stakeholders in the Lombardy region. And the French Cycling Federation will be launching the delivery of those workshops later this year. So it's a fantastic way to have an open dialogue with people who are attending. From my perspective, it's great to learn about some of the other things that event organizers and teams are doing. But it's opening that conversation, and it is very much interactive. It's about sharing. It's about acknowledging that we have an impact, but that we can all take steps to reduce them.
And finally, Ben, how does it feel personally to be working in this particular area? There are countless areas within cycling, within the UCI, you know, all the way from commercial concerns to anti-doping. Sustainability increasingly is becoming the focus of the entire sport. It must be an exciting area to work in.
It sure is. I mean, number one, I'm a cycling fan. You know, that's pretty much how I got into this role. And for me, I've got that I feel as a stakeholder, I'm representing the fans of cycling inside the organization and outside of it as well. You know, to have a job with purpose, I mean, it's a huge challenge. It's not easy. But every day I feel like I'm contributing to doing something, helping the world make the world a better place through more sustainable cycling sport. But also, I really enjoy connecting with all of the other champions throughout the sport who have actually, taking some amazing leaps forward in terms of sustainability, and it's just so inspiring. And we hope to sort of extend those networks, so that more people can share their stories with other event organizers in their same countries or in the same regions. So it's the foundations have been laid. It's really about building it together with everyone now going forward.
Great stuff. Well, Ben, thank you very much indeed for joining us today. You've been able to shed a lot of light on a very complex but critically important issue. Thank you very much again.
Thanks very much, Timothy. All the best.
If you've enjoyed today's episode, please hit subscribe.